It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Geary, Scott Mitchell. Keep sending your text in, 57500. We've got a lot we're talking about on the program. You can fire it at us on the UCCU KSL text line. And Scott is assuring me that you were not messing around. Prayer works. Well, I'm on the jury's out for me. I know, but the jury's out
for you. That prayer works.
No, about whether or not a football game matters.
We should
though.
Have a conversation.
I've got two friends who could chat with you.
I mean about
the football game part.
Right, let me ask you a question. Do you love your kids?
What are we doing right
do
now?
Do you love your kids? What do you do every Saturday with your son?
Yeah, we watch his football.
You go games. Watch his football game. Yeah. Why? Because you care.
Right.
You care about his football game.
What are we doing right now?
So if. That answers your question.
I can't believe you. You're the worst.
Because he's sitting there going, because I got you.
You
That's
didn't
why.
Get me.
I totally got you. Yeah. Wow. I think our Father in Heaven cares about all that we do. Doesn't care maybe about the outcome, but he cares.
Well, the football is a little less. I'm a little less worried about.
Yeah, I'm a lot.
He's probably a lot less worried about.
Nah, I don't know.
All right. 57500.
If he's a sports guy, maybe.
Jeez, Scott, going deep on this one.
It wasn't deep. It's just obvious.
All right. We're going to go out to the phone lines. We'll ask Bill about it, maybe. voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, joining us as he does every week to give us a breakdown of anything he sees going on this weekend. I don't know. There's a game being played this week. The Utes heading down to the Coliseum, a place that they've never won before, a place that has been a very difficult go. They've never won in the Pac-12. It's a difficult place to play. Bill Riley joining us on the program. Bill, what's up, man?
Well, here's what I need to get off my chest, because when I sat in those chairs 18 years ago doing my very first show at KSL on a Friday, I said, thank God it's Friday. I got a call from the 8th floor.
Oh.
I wasn't discussing gospel and whether God cared about football. I might have been fired 18 years ago if I'd have brought that topic up.
Listen,
how things have changed at KSL.
Scott might be fired too. I know the jury's out still. Scott almost, look, Scott's bearing his soul over here. I didn't know it was going to happen. This is just, you know, Scott's a passionate man, Bill. That's the only.
He's a man of extreme passion.
So he threw out there, he goes, look, I think if you're going to beat the Washington Huskies this weekend, Lisa Wilson's got to be praying real hard. That was kind of where the nexus of it was. But let's move over to the Utes and the Utah side of things. Heading down to L.A., in terms of trips that Utah makes in the Pac-12 South, this is as good as it gets. This is as big of a team as you play. And even if USC is coming off of a bad loss to BYU, this is still the road always in the South goes through USC, and in this case, Clay Helton and their freshman quarterback, Keaton Slovis.
They're like the New York Yankees or the Dallas Cowboys or the Boston Celtics or the L.A. Lakers. The brand is the brand.
Yeah.
And even when they're down, they still have dudes. And if you don't bring your A-game at the Coliseum, those dudes can make some plays. But no, you're right. I mean, any road to the Pac-12 South or a Pac-12 title usually goes to the Coliseum.
Bill, you mentioned the loss to BYU last week, and of course, Clay Helton's been a guy who's been under a lot of pressure to win. It's one of the iconic jobs in all of football. There's a great expectation. Does that pressure start affecting his coaching this week against Utah, or is it still too early? I mean, with the loss to BYU, folks, you know, aren't happy about it. But does his coaching style or him knowing that his job is in jeopardy, does it affect the way he coaches this week?
I can't imagine it doesn't. I think any of us that have a pressure on us to perform or else, it gets into your head.
Yeah.
And it affects your performance. Well, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. I guess you just kind of find out how that pressure goes. Now, you know, Clay Helton's not, you know, going to be the guy that decides the game on Friday night. It's
right.
going to be Keaton Slovis or Tyler Huntley or somebody like that. But I don't have any doubt, Scott, that I think it could impact the way he calls the game, the way they set game plans up. And don't think it doesn't impact Graham Harrell and Clancy Pendergast, too, because if Clay Helton's fired, they're all gone, too.
Yeah, and there starts to create this culture of, you know, covering your behind and all those things, and coaches get uptight, and there starts to become this fracture between the players and the coaches and the meeting rooms and practices, and you just wonder if things don't go well for USC, if things start unraveling. I wonder, is that still too early or is it too late? And you're probably right, it does have some impact on what
I don't think it's too early. These guys, I mean, this is 25 years ago or 30 years ago, Scott, when you played. I mean, there's the internet now. There's sport. I mean, these guys know what the outside pressure is. 25, 30 years ago, you had daily newspapers and TV. You could shield guys from it. These kids all see it. Their friends are texting them and telling them. Their family members are. They're probably being reached out to by friends that play for other teams. The kids know it too. I mean, the players don't feel the same pressure the coaches do, but they know what pressure is around the program. So I think that the culture down there has been rough anyway. But now you're turning the heat up now. You know, you've got a bad you kind of got a bad stew going, and now you're turning the heat up on that bad stew. It could go one of two ways. It could either they could rally, circle the wagons, and come together, or it could really fall apart for them.
Yeah, you just get a sense. I mean, he's been there for 10 years now. It's not new. They've had plenty of opportunities, and he's done well. I mean, but it just get a sense that this could very well be the beginning of the end for Clay Helton, and I hope it's not, but that's the reality of it, because I really enjoyed getting to know him at the Pac-12 Media Days, and so I'm sure it has an impact.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I've had plenty of opportunities on and off the air to interact with him. Seems like a really, really good guy. If he was coaching at Oregon State or if he was coaching at Colorado,
he'd be there forever, yeah.
Right.
But USC is just a different animal and a different beast, and different kinds of pressure come with that job.
And he knows it. I mean, he actually we played one of our conversations we had with him at Pac-12 Media Days, and he was like, I know what the pressure is, and I want it that way. I mean, why would you want to be at a place where you don't progress and get any better? And he's like, and I know that's what my bosses expect of me. And he knows what the pressure is. It's not going to be a question about whether or not he's going to show up prepared, I don't think. It's just about whether or not, you know, that pressure becomes too much. But, Bill, let's talk about these last 2 weeks of Idaho State and Northern Illinois and what the Utes have learned, what you've learned about this Ute team. I remember when I got home and I pulled up on TiVo, the Utah game, I start watching and I see Brian Thompson, and Scott tells me, hey, man, this guy is a new weapon for Tyler Huntley. And I'm watching Brian Thompson. I'm going, this is amazing. This kid's got a lot of talent. Are there other emergences like that where you go over these last 2 weeks where you go, man, we know this now about the Utes, and these guys are going to make a bigger impact?
Well, I just think that we've seen the offense because, there's been a few guys that have popped just a little bit. But, you know, we knew who Zach Moss was. We knew who Tyler Huntley was,
sure,
and some of that stuff. But we hadn't seen him do it in Andy Ludwig's offense. And, you know, Andy kind of took what they gave him in the BYU game. And unlike USC, he ran the ball against the three-man front, didn't have to get super exotic. But the last couple of weeks, we've seen him open up the pass game a little bit more, get the tight ends involved, get some big plays down the field. And what I've really seen is it looks like Utah is really comfortable in Andy Ludwig's offense. This is a good fit. You know, we kind of thought going through fall camp that it was a good fit for Tyler Huntley, and everybody told us that. But you kind of have to see it with your own eyes to really believe it. But it does look like that. I mean, and the numbers are bearing it out. I mean, Huntley's the most accurate passer in the country right now. He's got the best QBR in the Pac-12 right now, and he's playing at a super high level. That tells me he's comfortable with what he and not only the offense itself, but I think he and Andy and Scott, you could probably speak to this better than me, but it seems like he and Andy have a good rapport, and Andy knows what fits Tyler, and Tyler's comfortable running what Andy calls.
No, that's exactly right. And you can have the greatest plays in the world, but if your quarterback doesn't have confidence in him, they're worthless. So you just get a sense that they're certainly on the same page with things. And just watching Tyler a year ago and knowing what he did well, you can see that Andy's playing into that. So moving Tyler a little bit in the pocket, taking shots down the field off of play action is a better fit for Tyler than to kind of sit in the pocket and have to do a traditional kind of reading the defense type of situation. That's just not Tyler's strength. And so it's been a good fit, and there's so many weapons for Tyler. I mean, it's just crazy what he actually has to work with.
Bill, we're headed out here. We've got a break. We're up against it here, but we appreciate you joining us, and have fun down in L.A. Take Scott somewhere nice to eat, would you? The guy's skin and bones.
I'll do that. We'll probably get a tomahawk steak or something.
Oh. We're staying away from the tomahawks this year. You had to bring that one up, Bill.
Bill, thanks for hanging out, man.
See you guys later.
We'll talk to you later. We've got to go around. We got a break here to get to when we come back. Sam Farnsworth, KSL5 Television, is going to join us. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Fame quarterback after being benched now? Stay with us. More to go. KSL's Unruly.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.